It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate you putting forth the effort to come this way tonight. Brother Ken's up in Tennessee preaching. You pray for him. I think he took Sister Renee with him. And just pray that God will give them a good time, a refreshing. And maybe he'll be a blessing where he's preaching at. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles tonight, I guess I want to sort of do a little follow-up on Brother Adam's sermon last week when he was preaching about ministering. And certainly we all have a ministry. But I want you to look at some things with me tonight. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Some words that Jesus had to say here. And then we'll go over into the book of Acts and look at some things in the life of the Apostle Paul. But in Mark chapter number 6, verse number 7, it says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Verse 10. "And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Brother Tim, pray for us tonight if you would, brother. Yes, God, help us.
Lord, I pray you help us to receive your word with gladness, Lord. And apply it to our hearts and lives. Bless the teachers that teach tonight, Lord. I pray
yes.
Anoint each one, God, and bless the children, God, that God receive your word, God, to grow in grace and knowledge.
Yes, Lord, bless.
And praise you, God. We thank you, God, for who you are, what you're going to do for us, Lord, but what you've already done for us, Lord. We magnify you, Lord, and lift you up in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Jesus had these words to say in Matthew's gospel in this same account when he was speaking to his disciples here. He said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Send you forth in the midst of wolves. Certainly today you can get your feelings hurt in the ministry. Amen? Now, listen, Jesus, what I want to look at this thought tonight out of verse number 11 in the book of Mark, chapter 6 right here, where he said this, "Whosoever not shall receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them." And that's what I want to preach on tonight for a little while. Shake it off. Anybody ever said that to you? Maybe you got banged up or something, and somebody says, well, just shake it off. Or maybe you got your feelings hurt, or somebody done you wrong somehow or another, and somebody says, well, you're just going to have to shake it off and move on. Amen. Well, you know, in the ministry, we have to do the same thing. It's going to be the devil's goal to knock you out. Amen. He's going to see that you get your feelings hurt. He's got a lot of folks out here with a foul mouth that's working for him. It's going to do all that they can to knock you out of the ministry. So you might as well just get you some leather on your britches, friend, because you're going to get your feelings hurt. And this, Paul said this thing's a warfare when he was talking to young Timothy, didn't he? Hey, he told him you need to war a good warfare and to make full proof of your ministry. And so that's where I want us to focus on tonight is these thoughts. I remember when I first got saved and I went into the place where I worked and I was just excited to be saved. And one of the old boys I sat in the room with, I went over there to him and I said, hey, I got saved this weekend. And I thought he'd just be jumping with joy. He was lost. But you know what he did? He's sitting there working. He said, more power to you. Sort of took the wind out of my sail. And I found out pretty quick, you know, that not everybody's going to applaud you for the work that you do for Christ. Amen? But let me tell you, there's a payday coming one of these days, though. Hey, Jesus is keeping a record, friend. Everything that you do for Him, buddy, you're laying up some treasures over there on the other side, friend. But let me tell you this. Jesus said that whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Don't get knocked out of this thing, friend. Amen. Press on. Keep on going. Move on. Right? Somebody's gonna step on your toes somewhere down the line. Now let's look over in the book of Acts at three different situations here that Paul experienced. And let's look in chapter number 13 of the book of Acts to begin with. And let's look at some experiences that the Apostle Paul had, and let's see if we might can relate to him some way in our life and get strength for our Christian warfare. In verse number 44 of Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Now Paul, I think Brother Adam was in the first part of this chapter last week, wasn't you, Brother Adam? Where Paul and Barnabas has set out, and they begin to go from place to place of preaching that Jesus Christ was just exactly who He said He was. And it stirred up a bunch of devils that would come against Him down the road, friend. But hey, He was just going on trying to win who He could. Amen? But look what happens right here. It says, "On the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." When we come together, the Word of God ought to be the center, of our service, friend. We ought to always have the Word of God in our midst to look at it and to hear it. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now, I want us to look at this thing right here. There was an opportunity here for this city to hear the Word of God. Bowden, Georgia's got a great opportunity. Hey, not just because I'm a part of this church right here, but I tell you what, I'm proud that there's a place in Bowden, Georgia that's still promoting the old paths. Got an old King James Bible preaching from it, friend. Preaching the way, the truth, and the life to a lost and a dying world, friend. And I'm glad there's a place that people, if they're hungry, if they get thirsty, they can come in here and they can hear the Word of God. This city had an opportunity right here. Amen. And they came together to hear the Word of God. Not only the opportunity of the city, but the obedience to the Lord's command. Look at this right here in verse 47. And the Bible says, For so hath the Lord commanded us. For so hath the Lord commanded us. Hey, for so hath the Lord commanded you and me. Hey, he says, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Wonder tonight, is God, let me ask you this, how bright is your light? Amen. God has given us the light. the light, friend, that we should shine in a dark world. And no doubt we're in a dark day, friend. We're in perilous times today. But God has set His light upon us. He, those that saved and those that are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, there's something different about you. Hey, you ought to let your light so shine that those out in this world that are living in darkness, that are on their way to a devil's hell, friend, could see Christ in us. We ought to shine and we ought to share this glorious gospel. God set that light upon you and I to be a shining light in this dark day that we live. And so we see there was obedience to the Lord's command. Paul was doing just exactly, he was in the center of God's will in what he was doing. We ought to always seek to be in the center of God's will in the days of our lives that He's given us to live and breathe. Not only was there the opportunity of the city here, obedience to the Lord's command, but there was opposition of the critics. Always going to be some opposition. Opposition of the critics. I remember when we first started this church, you know, one of the first things that I heard out of religious folks, we got enough churches already. We don't need no new churches. Opposition. People that should have been supporting us. Supposed to be saved folks. Supposed to be Christian folks. But they turned out to be some of the worst critics. And I've even heard this right here. I didn't hear it, but I heard it, you know, I heard it through the grapevine. that, if you're going to be a member down there at that church, you have to show them your W-2 before you join. Where in the world somebody come up with that? Crazy things, man. I'm telling you, the critics, they'll just... You know, come up with stuff. I don't know where they get it at, but you know, that's just a lie of the devil. The critics, the discouragers, the ones that tries to knock somebody out of coming into Liberty Baptist Church. They out there. And listen, friend, I'm talking about some things. You're gonna have to learn how to shake some things off. Amen. The devil's at work. He's doing his job. But Paul pressed on doing the will of God right here, and the Bible says right here that they were the ordained were converted. And he says this right here, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, I'm not talking about predestination. That's not what he's talking about right here. In the sovereign mind of God, He knows who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. He knows who's going to reject Him and who's going to accept Him. I'm glad God gives man a chance. I'm glad God didn't just look out and say, well, I believe I'll save this one, and I believe I'll save this one, and I believe I'll let this one go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, He's given every man a chance to be born again, to be saved, and to go to heaven. And I'm glad that he orchestrated the gospel in such a way. Amen. And the ordained were converted. But notice this. When they left that place, they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. They said, well, we're going to move on. If you don't want the gospel, we're going to move on. There's always going to be some devils. Amen? And, you know, folks don't like to hear it tonight, but you're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. Amen? The devil sure uses people, don't he? But Paul took the advice of Christ. Paul wanted to see people get saved. Paul wanted to see the Jews saved, but they'd made up their mind they just going to reject Him. You know, there's folks in this world that's just made up their mind they're not going to believe this Bible right here. Jesus said they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And there's folks that's just going to reject it. So don't get bogged down in that kind of with those kind of people. Don't let them discourage you. They're gonna be folks like that. Just move on. Shake off the dust of your feet. Hey, I wonder what some of them would do is when they start rejecting. If you just sit down on the sidewalk or sit down somewhere and just pop your shoes together. I said, now Lord, I've done what you told me to do. This dust right here, when they stand in judgment, will testify against them. Amen. I believe if the rocks can cry out, I believe the dust can talk too, can't it? Amen. They shook off the dust and they moved on. Sometimes we just got to move on. Amen. But now let's go a little further in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. I want you to look at this right here in verse number 1 through 6. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now look at this. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded or tried to convince the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That Jesus was just exactly who he said he was. And listen, he was talking to the Jews right here. But it says, and when they opposed themselves, Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? When a person is so bullheaded, God is reaching out to somebody. God is trying to convince and convict and draw. And they oppose. They choose darkness rather than light. They choose to go to hell rather than heaven. They choose to live in sin and instead of being forgiven. They choose to die under the law instead of under grace. But that's the way these Jews were doing. They opposed themselves and blasphemed. Don't know what they said, but they blasphemed. Maybe they were cursing Paul. Maybe they were cursing Christ. I don't know. But the Bible says that he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I go unto the Gentiles. Notice Paul's reasoning. Verse 4 says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Every Sabbath. He was a faithful man. He was faithful to his ministry. He was faithful to his Lord. And he was faithful to lost sinners. He was faithful to the Jewish people. He tried time and time and time again to reason with them, to convince them that Jesus was just who he said he was. Not only Paul's reasoning, but the people's rebellion. Verse number 6, they opposed themselves and blasphemed. You know, every time that the gospel is preached, this house on Sunday morning is pretty much full. And you can bet that there'll be somebody with under the sound of the gospel that God is trying to reach. God is trying to reason with. God is sending the Holy Ghost out to convict and draw. But people can rebel against the call of God. People have an option to accept the call or reject. And that's exactly what these people were doing. Paul knew how. Hey, Paul was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul had a great relationship with God. And no doubt he was a powerful preacher. A great theologian, a great man that understood the scriptures and was able to reason with the Jews of their religion and how that God had sent his son to die for the sins of the world. But they rebelled against his message. And Paul had fulfilled his responsibility, I believe, right here, as he tried to reason with them. And he also said in this passage of Scripture right here, your blood be upon your own heads. He said, I'm clean. You know, a preacher can do all that he can do. You, as a Christian, you can do all that you can do to win somebody to Christ. But it takes God to get the results. Amen? And it takes a willing heart for somebody to humble themselves realize they're lost on their way to a devil's hell and cry out. All we can do is present it. Paul said, your blood's upon your own heads, I'm clean. Hey, I see right here a provoked and a powerful rejection. He shook his raiment. I believe the Holy Ghost told Paul, move on. You've done all you can do for these people right here. Move on. He shook off the damned. Amen? In Acts 13, he shook off the dust. In Acts 18, as these people opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook off the damned. What a dangerous, dangerous thing for a person to do, to blaspheme the call of God, to rebel against the call of Christ, the mercies of God. Isn't it amazing how God comes to a person? Isn't it amazing? I remember when I was lost, I had no thoughts of Christ. I mean, I was so deep in darkness and sin, and all of a sudden, the fear of God came upon me. Fear of dying and going to the devil's hell. Hey, it was God. It was God reaching out to me. And that's just how God works. He goes into dark places to try to save somebody that's lost. And listen, God's no respecter of persons. He didn't come to call the righteous, but He said, come to call sinners to repentance. Listen, what a merciful God that we have, friend. But listen, Paul shook off the dust against some. And here he shook his raiment. He shook off the damned. And he moved on. Hey, some things we just have to shake off. I mean, if we're going to fulfill our ministry, we're going to have to press on, ain't we? Amen? Listen, there was folks that opposed Paul. You know, we oppose ourselves if we don't watch out. This flesh is something we have to deal with, isn't it? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Some bad stuff. But one more place and we'll be done tonight. In Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. I know y'all are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. We'll look at 5 or 6 verses right here. In verse number 1, the Bible says, and when they were escaped, they just gone through a shipwreck in chapter number 27. They made it to land, hanging on to boards and pieces, broken pieces of the ship. Some swimming, no doubt, but they all escaped. And then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. There's a lot of folks get preacher religion. You ever seen that in somebody? Listen, a preacher is just a man. Amen? These folks right here, they were sort of amazing. Look at the barbarous people's ignorance. In verse 4, they were looking at Paul and said, "Why, no doubt this man's a murderer." 2 verses later, they said, "Well, he's a god." That's pretty ignorant, isn't it? Listen, Don't put your preacher too high up on a pedestal. He's a man. I'm a man. Any other preacher's just a man. I mean, we bleed red too. Amen? Listen, these barbarous people's ignorance. But not only that, but the blessing that Paul intended. Paul went to gathering sticks. These barbarous people, they kindled a fire. Paul went to gathering sticks. Paul wanted to help. You know, when we see somebody doing something in the church, maybe a specific ministry or something going on that you could just pitch in a little bit and help some, you ought to just fall in and help. Amen? And most of the time in churches, it bumfuzzles with me how folks are. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come here and pay a debt that we owed that we could not pay. Let me tell you something. We're debtors to the grace of God tonight, and we're ministers, friend. We're ambassadors of Christ, and we ought to get off our hind ends, friend, and get to doing something for Him. Amen? Listen, most of the time, though, we as Christians, if the preacher maybe asks for a volunteer for something, people go sliding down in their pews. We ought to be excited to serve God. Let me tell you something. He gave you life and breath today. He gave you strength today. You ought to want to serve Him. You ought to want to live for Him. We all ought to. Amen? Paul, when he knew what God had done for him, he landed on that shore right there. God saved him just like He said He was going to save the whole bunch right there. And now these people had built a fire, and Paul wanted to pitch in and do his part. Wish we could all be that excited about pitching in, don't you? One person can't do it all. Brother Ken can't do it all. Amen? We're all members of His body. We ought to be functioning in the place that He's put us. The blessing that Paul intended, he got to work. Now, he could have said, well, I'm a Christian here. He could have said, well, I'm too high up on the ladder here to get out here and gather sticks. I'm too good for that. But he didn't, did he? He got in there with them and helped out. Not only the barbarous people's ignorance of blessings that Paul intended, but the beast that Paul inflamed. Let me tell you. You get to doing something in the ministry, it's going to inflame the devil. Amen? You ain't exempt. I hate to tell you that. He's going to come after you. It's a warfare. A warfare. And listen, if you ain't doing nothing, if you have no desire to do anything for God, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. He's tickled to death with you. Amen? Listen, the beast that Paul inflamed, watch out. Listen, if you start doing something in the ministry, you better watch your back, as they say, because the devil's going to try to slip up on you and get in there and knock you out. Amen. Not only the beast that Paul inflamed, but the bite that Paul encountered. You notice that the venomous beast latched onto Paul's hand, bit Paul. Not only did he just bite him, he hung on. Listen, the devil, he'll stay after. He's going to stay on your trail. If he can bite you, hey, if he can inject some poison into you, he'll hang on. Amen? Paul had to shake him off. And that's what we have to do in our Christian life. Friend, we need to recognize the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices unless we're ignorant of God's Word. And we ought to be studied up and know his techniques and his tactics. You ought to know what your weakness is in your life. Amen? I got weaknesses. You got weaknesses. The devil knows our weaknesses, friend, and he's going to come after you and try to knock you out of this thing. Right? Amen. And in closing, I want you to notice this. He shook off the devil, but I want you to notice this. The devil didn't bite the barbarous people there when they gathered sticks and put them on the fire. The devil wanted the man of God there. He wanted the one that was, he wanted the one that was going to lift Christ up. He wanted the one that was going from city to city and place to place, preaching the gospel, that had a tremendous, tremendous burden for the Gentiles, for the Jews, for the whole world. He turned the world upside down for Christ. But let me tell you something. He had to fight. It was a battle. Everywhere Paul went, there was opposition. There was troubles. Shipwreck, beaten, thrown in jail, all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul. But he didn't throw in the towel, did he? He kept pressing on. He was able to come down at the end of the way, say, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. It's a fight. And let me tell you something. We're in the last days, the perilous times. The devil's raging. Read Revelation chapter 12. Look at what the devil's doing in these last days. Listen, he's going about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Don't let him get you. Don't let him get you. Don't let him knock you out of the ministry. Let's be as determined as the Apostle Paul was. Some things you just got to shake off. Amen? Shake it off. Move on. Cry baby. Stand with me. I appreciate you being